the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven us. We celebrated that today. Now listen, if you yet to believe, I want you to know that you can be forgiven today. You can be forgiven today. And so today we're going to talk about fellowship. What does it mean to be in fellowship with each other? What does it mean to be in community with each other? One of our big 5 points in the church is that if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to like some other people. Does that make sense? If you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to like some other human beings. Because how many of y'all believe this? God alone, Jesus Christ, created human beings. And being a human being is a cool thing because God is madly in love with human beings. Isn't that neat? So if you don't mind, just look at somebody today. I want you to give this pronouncement to them. A pronouncement, all right? I want you to tell them that God likes them. Go ahead and let them know. And God really does like them. He likes human beings. Now, I know there's a lot of issues. You know, we're out there saving whales and the one-eyed cricket and the minnow that swims backwards by the dam, and we spend millions of dollars to save all of these things that won't exist in a little while anyway. Because there comes a time, and we got to wise up with what the Word of God is really saying. And I want you to know, I'm going to pray today that we hear the word of unity. Unity in the body of Christ. And listen, we're going to stay out of division. We're believers. We stay out of division. I got one issue, man. Are you going to live with Christ forever and ever in heaven, or are you going to die and go to hell? And I hope you don't die and go to hell. I hope you die and live. I hope you die and live. Today I got a message of die and live, that even though your sins had killed you, have killed you, that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved you of those sins and you can live on. That's the message we declare from this church. So I want you to know that, listen, I don't want you to get all crazied out on what the world's doing. Watch this. I'm not surprised at anything that's going on right now. I'm not surprised by anything that's going on right now because lost people do lost things. So don't get all upset about that. Don't get all upset about that. I'm not upset about the Supreme Court because guess what? A lot of them don't have hearts of God. They don't have a heart of God. They don't have a heart of God. Our leaders don't have a heart for God. They have a heart for what's in it for them. But hold on. Let's not be real judgmental about them, because some of us coming into the room, all we care about what's going on with us. But guess what? Today I hope we're awakened to fellowship and we start really being concerned about, hey, God, what could you do with the believers of Christ? Isn't that interesting? What could you do with the believers of Christ? Go with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And we're going to begin to look at this thing called fellowship. How many of y'all realize that there's a difference between those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who've received grace and mercy, and those who have not received grace and mercy? How many of y'all understand there's a difference? Now, here's what's so cool. If you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't get all cocky and prideful, can you, John Paul? You teach this very well, that you're some wonderful person because you've been made special by grace. So how many of y'all, watch this. If you're a believer, just kind of look at, just kind of look over at somebody and do this. I'm going to use you, Joseph. I didn't make me. Just go ahead and tell somebody that. Tell them, Father, I didn't make me. Come on. I'm going to help you understand the principle here. They say, I didn't make me. Sean, I didn't make me. And guess what? You didn't make you. Now let's really understand grace. Anybody give him praise today? Anybody give him thank God today that God has remade you? My sister, God has remade us in his grace. You see, outside of God's grace, guess what? I'm away from God's image. And I will not find fellowship. You understand? Now, here's what I want you to know. The believers, look at what happened to me. You're there at chapter 4, verse 32. Let's look at that first verse. All the believers were in one heart and in one mind. Who was there? Come on, we're going to kind of preach today. Who was there? Not all. See, y'all went right there. You went CNN on me right there, right off the bat. The scripture doesn't say all. It doesn't say all people. It says all what? Believers. I got some attorneys in the house. Not that I am one, but I had to argue with one all my life. And words are important. It doesn't say all people, does it? It says all what? Believers. Now, guess what? Believers are not special because they're special, but they are special because Jesus has made them special. Does that make sense? We're not like everybody else by the grace of God. Not because I'm smarter or more wonderful or a greater person, but I am a better person because of the grace of Jesus Christ in my life. Let's quit lying to the world. You know what I mean? Because people ask me, they say, do you think you're better than me? I said, no, but Jesus is. I'm not better than you, but Jesus is better than you. I'm not better than you, but the way Jesus thinks is better than the way you think. The way that Jesus relates to other people is better than the way you relate to other people. Wouldn't you agree with that? Bobby, you'd agree with that, right? Bobby, here's my observation. Not that I've had too many of them, but this is one of them, all right? I have enough life experience now to make a few observations. You know, after you live, there's only one good thing I know about getting older. You know definitely what not to do now. That's why old people are always, you know, older people, not old people, but older people will be going, I wouldn't do that if I was you. Now, why are they doing that? Come on, why do they do that? Because they've done it, and I'm going to tell you what, not only have they done it once, they've done it more than once. And they're telling you that doesn't work. That's not going to work. Now, watch what, if somebody tells you that's not going to work, they're loving who? You. They don't want you to end up where they were. All the believers were one in one heart and one mind. Let me tell you my observation. Here's what's going on in American culture today. We are trying to achieve a relationship with each other that requires the heart to be changed, and we're trying to achieve it with the mind only. You see, watch this. Right now, we've got disturbances in a lot of corridors of life, okay? Watch this. Racism will never be healed with the mind. And watch this, I'll tell you right now. We've been talking about this jazz my whole life. I've been in college discussions with it. I've been on boards with it. I've been through all this stuff. I've listened to all this stuff. Watch this. There's only one reason that a great follower of Jesus Christ, Martin Luther King Jr., made headway with it, because he understood it was a heart issue and not a mind issue, because he was under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the power of the Holy Spirit. He had the positive realization of the power of the resurrection. And that's why his message got through, because it wasn't his. It was the Lord God's. Now, here's what I want you to know. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be the way you define yourself. I got a lot of marks on my life, but my greatest mark is the mark of Christ in my life. Does that make sense? You all got marks. DeMonte, right now, you're marked. You're a university student. That's a mark. That's an identification. You are Georgetown what? Tiger, and that means you play on what team? Football team. Yes, we could tell that you were not in ballet. Okay, that you were a Georgetown football player. That's a mark. Watch this. I have these marks in my life. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm now marked as a father-in-law. I'm marked as the pastor mark. I have markings in my life. Crazy, unpredictable. There's all kinds of marks in my life. But guess what? The greatest mark is this. I have been marked by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a child of God, and you're a child of God, and we're all children of God. Now, I want you to hear my heart. Your pastor's heart is broken for what I'm hearing in this nation now. You see, here's the difference in me. I'm not like my friends who just have PhDs in sociology to talk theoretically about diversity. I've lived mine out my whole life. I believe that God's kingdom has many colors, many ethnic groups, many cultural expressions, and I believe that. And here's where I'm different than a lot of pastors. I don't preach that. I live that. Look around. And other pastors that talk about unity, they're in one color churches. And it's because they don't understand the body of Christ. The body of Christ, grace has no color. Grace has no language. Grace has no natural. Oh, I'm going to preach for just a minute because I want you to see how beautiful it is. Because you and I are not in a body of the natural. We're in the body of the supernatural. Grace is not natural. Grace is supernatural. Grace does not come from our minds. Grace comes from heaven and gets in our hearts. And that allows us to live beyond what we see and touch and feel. It allows us to embrace God's reality here on earth. Thus, the revelation of Jesus. God's reality here on what? Earth. Who's that? Jesus. Jesus is heaven's reality here on what? Earth. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus exclude anybody from where they came from? No, and neither shall we. I want you to know I'm going to preach Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected. I'm not going to shut that up. And when they arrest me, I'm going to knock two of them out in the name of grace before they get the cuffs on me. I'll just tell y'all what's coming. I even had some of my most gentle pastor friends. I was with them a few weeks ago, and they looked at me and they said, "Ayers, we've always thought you were crazy. But when you said that we would probably live a long time ago in seminary, we remember sitting on a porch with you and you said, 'Gentlemen, we will live in our lifetime long enough that we will live sometime in the season of our ministry that they will arrest us for what we preach.' I want you to know that we're just a few years away from that time. You know why? We've turned away from what God says into what evil predicts. The Bible said there would be this time. Is that it'll be a time where we call evil what? And we call good what? We're there. We're there. We've arrived at a time where we call perversion normal and normal perverted. We're at a time where we call that is ugly beautiful and that is beautiful ugly. We're at a time where the devil is using the world to shape his schemes. However, we're not into that. Note the scripture. All the believers were in one heart and one mind. What's our job? Ryan, you and Michelle, in a very beautiful way, did today. Guess what you declared? Guess what you declared? God's resurrection. This is real. It's not a philosophy, it's not a theory, it's not occasional, it's a reality in our lives. Girl, your sins are forgiven. What do you think about that? Guess what? Today, if this is it, guess where you're going to end up? Heaven. Brother, you're going to end up where? That's pretty cool, isn't it? So y'all better get along, because guess how long y'all going to have to hang out? Huh? Forever. I tell Elizabeth that all the time. She said, "When are you going to change?" I said, "I don't know, I got forever. Couple months." Now, here's what I want you to know. Grace changes us. Am I being clear today? Y'all help me. I want to communicate to you today. Brewer, we're believers. We're not United States Americans. Watch this. Some of y'all take more pride in being born in America than you do being reborn by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, watch this. America will be long gone and Christ will stand in his glory. Russia will be long gone and Christ will stand in his glory. China will be long gone and Christ will stand in his glory. Jesus is Lord. One heart, one mind. Now here's why. When God changes your heart, your mind has to change. Now you can call me what you want to. I've been called every name already 3 or 4 times. Here's what I believe. Whosoever believes in Jesus Christ, who repents of their sins, who believes in the Christ of Jesus, the one that God is and God has sent, believes that he died, he is risen, and repents of that sin and receives him in their lives, they will be saved no matter what color they are, what language they speak, what country they came from, or what hole they have crawled out of. That's the power of the gospel. So watch. At Hillview, we gonna speak a whole lot of different languages. We gonna have a lot of color in this place. I remember one time, a few years ago, about 15 years ago, a couple who was married came to the altar. One was black and one was white, and they came to the altar. And sister in the back of the choir, she looking at me, and she came up to me and said, "Pastor." I said, "Yeah." She said, "I was watching you to see what you was gonna do with that situation." I said, "Sister, it's pretty sad." I said, "You're older than I, and I know that you're a little bit out of touch of what's been going on." I said, "It must be a miserable way to live, that everything in your life is black and white. I said, those were the TVs of the 60s. When I grew up as a child, the TVs, I know some of you young people going, what? Y'all can do it on your phone now. You can turn stuff black and white. Have y'all noticed that? Well, guess what we called that? Living color back in our day. Now watch this. If your life is confined to looking at every issue in your life as a white and black issue, I want to pray today that you grow up and find the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you're so far away from what God teaches, you can't imagine. I looked at this sister and I said, man, I love you, but I said, I want to tell you what, I'm going to blow you away. I said, God's added to TV since you grew up. I said, not only do we have color, but we have high definition. We have colors emerging in our color scheme in this day and time that we've never seen. And God is a God of color. How many of you are glad to know that God is a God of colors? And he puts them together. See, that's fellowship. My fellowship is not on the outside, but it's on the inside. Does that make sense? Watch this. I go to Costa Rica. I'm one of the pastors in Costa Rica, and here's my Spanish. Hola. I can say, hello, Jesus bless you. Where's the bathroom? It's hot. Caliente. I just love that word. That's just a cool word. Caliente. I wish I could preach in Spanish. So I have to tell our Costa Rican church, because I just wasn't a good student with languages. I said, one day when we get to heaven, I'm going to preach to you in Spanish. But then I thought about it. I'll be out of work when we get to heaven. There is no preaching in heaven. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Only rejoicing. All the preaching's here on earth. It's only fit for earth. And then in heaven. So I think it's really cool. You know, Keith lets the choir take off, you know, all summer long. The reason for that is he's got to work in heaven and I don't. Keith's got to work. There's singing in heaven. There's a choir in heaven. There's praise in heaven. There's rejoicing in heaven. But there is no preaching of the gospel in heaven. You know why? The gospel is now revealed. And those who are his are all one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. Can I break this scripture down theologically for you? They had a clue. They realized that what they only had for a little while, and they were to share it with each other so somebody else would get better. Amen? Watch this. This works. What we've been doing doesn't work. Go check me on this and see. We have spent billions, trillions almost now, dollars on poverty. And guess what we have gotten for our results? Thank you all for being a wise congregation. You know why? We're using the mind to solve a heart problem. Do you see what I'm saying? Watch this. How many of y'all have heard these stories? Somebody who doesn't have any money wins the lottery, and they get a lot of money, and 2 years later, they don't have any what? You know why they don't have any money? Because poverty is a heart issue, not a mind issue. You see, you can give folks that have a poor heart money, and guess what? It'll just be a few days, and they won't have any more money because they don't have a heart that knows how to share. It's a heart issue. So guess what? Our hearts need to be right to have fellowship. Does that make sense? Y'all understand this, Hillview? I want to thank you all for doing a good job. I want to thank Jesus Christ for enlightening us, for changing us. I thank God when I came to Vacation Bible School this week, I saw everybody sharing. I just can't tell you how excited I am to be a small part of what God's doing in this place. I walked through Bible school. Guess what? I saw people from everywhere. Elizabeth, I'm going to get my country right this time. I messed it up at the 8 o'clock service. And this beautiful little girl, she was 8 years old. Miss Bella, she was 8 years old, just beautiful girl. She got saved. And they said, Pastor, we need to call her mama. And I said, well, that is no problem. She said, it might be a problem for her to be baptized. I said, why is that? She said, her mom lives in Portugal. Now, I knew that wasn't on the other side of Beaver Dam. I was that far along, all right? She said, she lives in Portugal. Well, Portugal is near Spain. Am I right? Yeah, at the 8 o'clock service, I said, Portugal is, you know, in South America because, you know, Brazil, they speak Portugal. They speak Portuguese, which sounds like Spanish, but not. Okay? You see, this is what's so cool. How many of y'all glad to know that God made us all? And God loves us all. And God brings us all together. And there is true unity and fellowship if we'll just listen to God. I want to tell you some things we got to learn to do. Listen, if you get married, what do you got to learn to do? Share. How many of y'all find if you don't share when you're married, it's trouble real quick? When you're early married, what do you got to learn to do? Share space. I remember when Elizabeth and I first got married, one of the craziest things, we both had to work all the time, do things like that. I never wore pantyhose when I was going to high school. You know what I mean? I didn't wear pantyhose. And I know, you know, people don't wear pantyhose now, but back in the old days, they wore pantyhose. Well, you know, when you first got married, you come out of the shower and a pair of pantyhose, wet pantyhose, hits you upside the head. You know, you have to learn how to share because you weren't used to being hit upside the head with wet pantyhose before. You have to learn that you're living with somebody different. Does that make sense? I've noticed that women like the house to be warm. Even in the summer, if you turn the air conditioner way down, they'll go, honey, I'm cold. You know, I want to be freezing. You know, you have to learn to do what? Share. Probably one of the greatest crises in marriage, really honest crisis of marriage, is toothpaste. You know, people get married. Some people, you know, just squeeze the tube. How many of y'all married somebody that was a tube squeezer when you were a tube roller? That's a serious marital problem. Because rollers are very compulsive people. And if you squeeze the shaping of their toothpaste tube, this causes all fellowship to be broken in life. It's little things that begin to show us who we really are. Hello? But guess what? God loves people who squeeze the tube. God loves people who roll the tube. God loves us if we're very compulsive, and He loves us if we're very just disheveled in our lives. God loves us and brings us that together the world gets better. Do y'all understand this? Now, here's what's so cool. That's not some young idealistic logic of what it means for the people to come together. This is what believers live like. However, those who don't believe in Christ, this is going to be a very pointed statement, so hold on to your seats. It is impossible for them to ever experience unity. Now let me explain why. Sin disunifies. It disunifies you from your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it disunifies you from others. So no matter how many pop singers you get together to hold hands and sing "We Are the World," we will never be "We Are the World" because we didn't make the world. And you can shower the people you love with love all day long, but you won't love them until Christ has saved you and your sins are forgiven and your hope is heaven and your Lord is Jesus and your reality is mercy and grace and love. It takes Jesus to have unity. Amen? It hadn't worked. I've been in dialogues with race issues since I was a young man, and that's been a long time ago, at the university. And they're worse today than I've ever seen them because we are trying to solve them instead of preaching the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. Now, Hillview, let me show you what they got caught up in. This is what our fellowship ought to be. Now, church, you better listen to me. It's where we as believers have allowed the world to be shaped in a very disjointed way. When we don't get along with other people that believe in Jesus Christ, guess what we tell lost people? This whole Jesus is a joke. When folks that don't know Jesus Christ see us arguing over theological issues and not being, you know, we got churches, some of them get loud and proud, others of them sit and stare at each other. You know, we got all kinds of different kinds of churches, but we all got to be unified in the cause of God. Amen? It takes a lot of different expressions for God to get to the many different people He's created. We need to quit picking on each other. Some people are quiet. Amen? What kind of churches do they need? Quiet ones. Hillview doesn't fit everybody. Like real organized people come here and they look and they go, oh my gosh, what is that? When I'm preaching, they go, what kind of human is that? And they meet Elizabeth and they go, why would you marry that? But you know what? Hey, God's called us to reach certain kinds of folk. Everybody's. Here at Hillview, we reach everybody. We have one cause and common cause. We want the world to know Jesus. That's it. We want the world to know Jesus. You know what I'm concerned about? People that die, do they know Jesus? Celebrities that died, did they know Jesus? You know, nobody asked where Michael Jackson was going to spend eternity. Elvis, I wonder what he's the king of now. Popular for a moment, to lose all hope of heaven? I don't know. I sure wouldn't want to make that trade. Or dislike now for a little while to rejoice in the hope of heaven forever. That's the fellowship question. Let me tell you what we ought to be caught up in. You ready for this? This is pretty cool. All the believers, they had, did I tell you, they had like one heart, one mind. Because they had one source of where they came from, Jesus. So don't be all prideful, okay? I know some of you have never drank a beer. Hallelujah. No, not that you've drank a beer. I'm proud of you. But that has nothing to do with your heaven. Does that make sense? Some of you go, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not like others. I've never smoked a cigarette. Well, good. Your lungs are healthier. Unless you've eaten 25 bologna sandwiches a day. And then your heart's not. We all have something. Amen? And we need to quit pointing out what's wrong with us and start rejoicing inside with what's right with us. You see, when you start rejoicing in what's right with another human being, that draws you and I together in Christ. Does that make sense? Scott, what do you and I ultimately have in common? Christ. I mean, you're a banker. You're smart. You can sit at a desk for hours. You sit me at a desk for an hour, in an hour and 15 minutes, I'm ready to be committed to a facility that handles people that have lost their mind. We are made differently, but yet we're made the same in Christ. Now do you understand how God puts us together? Differently, but yet the same in who? Christ. And outside of Christ, we will only point out each other's differences. We got a world that's spending billions of dollars over differences. And everybody demanding their what? Equality and rights. Everybody run around like a big bunch of babies going, it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair. Where did you get messed up? It's never been fair. And it will never be fair. It will be mercy. None of y'all want God to be fair. If he is, you deserve hell, and I deserve hell. But by the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, in the power of the resurrection, you and I don't have to go there. Risen in who? In Christ. Check this out. They shared in the fellowship in the power of the resurrection. So we got to stay one heart. God changed our hearts so our minds might become better. And then we celebrate what? We celebrate the power of the resurrection, not by theological Bible study, but by the giving of who we are. Check this out. And I'm going to end here. You ready? With great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where your pastors live. You know what I want you to know? Jesus crucified and resurrected. Roger, you hear that out of my mouth 1,000 times, don't you? If you come to Hillview and don't know it's about Jesus, I don't know what more to do. Because it's about who? Jesus. It's not about coming to church. It's about coming into Jesus. It's not about making sure that you got all your little checklist off, but it's about rejoicing in who? Jesus. Crucified, resurrected. And in him, all things come together. Somebody hear what I'm saying? Brother, we come together in Jesus Christ, don't we? In Jesus Christ, what does he say? In Christ, there's no male or female. There's no Jew or Greek. Yeah. There's no separation. There's Christ is Lord and he alone. And that pulls us together in the cause of Christ. Amen. Now, Hillview, we're going to ride that storm. Watch this. Please don't ask me to be involved in stupid issues that make a difference because I'm not doing it. I'm too old. I've already experimented with stupid issues. And here's what I know. They don't make a difference after you pour a lot of time and energy in them. Here's what changes people. Christ crucified, Christ risen, and we repenting. Richard, it works, doesn't it? Yeah, that's what works. I even had people come to my office, what do you think's the matter? I said, well, what do you want me to do? You want me to give you some psycho mumbo jumbo, or you want me to show you Jesus Christ so you can actually be changed? I can analyze from now to he returns why you're messed up. That doesn't change you being messed up. Something's eventually got to fix the mess up. You know, I can tell people how they got a flat tire. That doesn't mean it's filled up yet. Amen?
Amen.
That makes sense? You can tell people where the wire's off, can't you? But somebody got to go put it back together. Jesus puts it what? Back together. How many of y'all glad to be together? I don't know about you, but I like hanging out at Hillview. I just want you to know that we're going to be crazier in this moment of time than we've ever been. You know why? We believe people are worthy. We believe people are made by God. We believe people can be saved by God. We believe anybody can come to Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and He alone is the way to heaven. That makes you and I crazy, those of you who believe that. Or you can listen to the world. They've done a bang-up job, haven't they? I mean, let's just talk about the facts. They've done a bang-up job, haven't they? So listen. All believers, you know what they did? They celebrated under the power of the resurrection. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. They participated in the supernatural instead of submitting to the natural. They participated in the what? Supernatural instead of participating in the natural. And guess what God did? He took care of all their needs. Now, here's what I want you to know, and I want to end on this piece of God's glory. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. Among who? And who's the them? Yeah. There were no needy persons among the believers. What about those who've rejected Christ and the non-believers? Heck yes, there were needy persons among them because they have a mind that opposes the things of God. And I hear it all the time. I have people come in. I said, are you a part of a church? Are you part of the family of God? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. I believe all gods are worthy. But you need to pay my rent. I said, go get one of them other gods to pay your rent. If Buddha works, he ought to be paying your rent. And they look in here and they get mad at me because you know what they think? They think they're privileged to the blessing of the body of Christ without being a part of the body of Christ. I want to tell you, you're not. And if that ticks you off, be ticked. You're not. One day we're all going to go to heaven, and you're not. I guess you can have an Occupy Hell rally if that'll make you feel better down there. Or you can look up to heaven and go, you're not fair, you're not just. You didn't do it like we thought you ought to do it. God, you're a racist. He is a racist. He made all of them. And he made one of them, his son, to come and save all of them, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And some of them repented of their sins and received Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they went on and lived a powerful, full, and abundant life. And then are reigning with him forever and ever and ever. But some of them said, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it with my thought. I'm going to do it according to me. And they got what me deserved. They got what was right. I don't want what is right. I want what is merciful. Amen. I don't know about you all. I don't need the justice of God. I need the justification of God. I am a sinner in the need of grace and mercy. And I thank God every day that he loves sinners like me. And he comes into our lives and he forgives us of our sins. And he places us in a new location. And now because Jesus and he alone has given sinners like me a new heart, I get to have a new mind and I get to live a new life and I get to reign in a new place. Because I've become a new creation and I have a new hope because there is a God who reigns forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that pretty cool? But guess what? Today, we in fellowship. If you don't like somebody in this church, tough. Get over it. You're going to live with them forever. Start liking them now. But we're going to have old crotchety church people in heaven? Absolutely. They're going to sweep the streets. People that were saved and unloving, they're going to find out that God was not impressed with their holiness. God's not impressed with our holiness, man. He's just not. That gets what he said. This ticks a lot of holy people off. God said our holiness is like filthy rags. But he said his holiness, more precious than diamonds and gold. In fact, diamonds don't last forever. Those Christmas commercials lie. God lasts forever. Diamonds last till God comes back. You know what God uses diamonds for? Decorations. You know what God uses? Or guess what God uses gold for?
Pavement.
Yeah, pavement. Blacktop. Some of y'all will just be hugging the streets of heaven. I mean, as soon as you see it, you'll just be going. You just be loving the streets of heaven. Why? Because that's what you've loved here on earth. Some of you will say, I don't know if I need to dance. I don't know if I need to sing. I don't know if I need to shout. I don't know if I just need to sit here and be quiet. I just don't know. I'm overwhelmed by the presence of the one who saved me. Oh, Lamb of God. Amen. Does that make sense? Hillview, I just want to thank you. We're going to keep preaching Jesus, loving God, doing that. We believe the Bible. We believe it's the Word of God. We believe Jesus is the Son of God. We believe there's one church, there's one faith, there's one baptism. If you're saved and you want to participate in a community of believers that believes that stuff, we're really good. If you want to have a bunch of theological fights, argue over the songs you sing, talk and bust on people that don't do life like you, that's the church down the road. It's not this one. We love all people. Whether they're from Portugal or Portland. Whether they're from Beaver Dam or Brazil. Whether they're from Kentucky. Y'all have been to Kentucky? If you have, you need to be saved today. If you know where that is. Yeah, Kentucky. Or the Ukraine. May Jesus touch them. Amen. We've seen almost 60 people come to know the Lord in a week's time. Wow. Here's what I realize. That's what God wants to do every week. And I thank you for being a church of unity. We've done a lot of good things, but here's what I want to tell you. I don't care how crazy the world gets. God's going to take care of the believers. Now, you may not get to go shopping down at Green Hills Mall. I'm not saying you're going to have steak. But I'm telling you, God's good for manna and quail. You say, well, I wonder what manna tastes like. Good. I think it's frosted flakes, giant frosted flakes. That's just me. I would love for God to drop some manna, and I hope it has sugar on it. What would excite me if it was fried? Fried manna with powdered sugar on it. Because I would look at Elizabeth and go, heaven. And then Elizabeth would see the toast from hell. Thin, looking like cardboard. And the Lord would say, Elizabeth, you don't have to eat this anymore. Come unto the meal that the Lord has prepared. Y'all know? Seriously. Fried chicken drumsticks on everybody's plate. Loving God. Y'all know what I'm talking about, man. It's about being in fellowship. I love all y'all. Don't like all y'all sometimes. Y'all don't like me sometimes, but I love all y'all. Hey, I like to be honest. I know that blows visitors away. I had somebody say, they were a guest here. They were visiting from like a really decent state, like Virginia, where people are nice. He said, sir, you said that you don't like everybody in your congregation. I said, I don't. My wife was in the service. I said, she doesn't like me all the time. I said, listen, let me tell you what we've done. The church has tried to act more like the world than we have become what God's made us to be. I don't like my brothers and sisters all the time, do y'all? They're still my brothers and sisters. I didn't like my mom and dad all the time I was growing up with them. How many of y'all grew up and you just loved your parents every moment? Hey, you sitting in between yours, I'd be still too. That's a good move, brother. I loved them all the time, though. See, like, my dad wasn't very smart when I was 16. He just wasn't, bless his heart. And for some reason, the older I got, the more educated he got, and the more he became smart. My father had to raise a very, 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 very rambunctious child named Stephen, who had a lot of fervor and a little knowledge. And he was able, later on, I realized, man, my dad was trying to bless me. You know what? I bet when we get to heaven, we're going to look at spots in our life that we were praying God take it away, and those will be the blessed moments in our life. Yeah. Thank you all for being real. Thank you all for serving in Vacation Bible School. Thank you for asking your friends to come here and meet Jesus Christ. Thank you for looking at people instead of the sins that they do. And God's going to keep saving people. That's what he does. His name is Jesus, crucified and risen. If you haven't met him today, I hope you come to the altar. I hope you say this: Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. I want to repent. I want to change. And Jesus will forgive you, and he alone will change you. And we will welcome you as a new bro or sis in the kingdom of God, all right? I don't care if you're 88 years old or 8 years old. The only way to heaven is, guess who? Jesus. Now, I know some of you disagree. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, I think that's a pretty limited viewpoint. Oprah says all gods are worthy. Boy, now there's some serious credibility. Oprah. Take that sister, see if she can walk on water. Take her life on Friday and see if she's hosting her talk show on Sunday morning. I'd be careful who I listen to as my credibility source. I'm going to go with the one who has been from the beginning and will be in the end versus those who have voices in the moment. You see, there's a voice of all moments, and then there's some voices in the moment. Which one you want to listen to? Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my what? What do you think God's going to do? Ken, you know what he said. He said, if you ask, he'll what? He'll do it. So if you ask and Jesus doesn't save you on the day of judgment, you can say, Jesus, why did you lie? Because Jesus said, if you ask to be forgiven, he will forgive you. That's what Jesus said. I'm telling you what he said. So some of you need to be saved today. Some of you need to be tuned up today. How many of y'all claim the grace of God and just despise people? Well, how crazy is that? You can't go around saying, I love the Lord, and be the one in Walmart that's taking everybody out. So maybe you need to come and tune up and say, Lord, help me. Help my heart and my mind and my hands match up. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together. Pastor Jamie, there are going to be some people to be saved today. Amen. If you have not been baptized, you need to be baptized. Why? Somebody tell, thank you. That is the correct theological answer. Jesus said so. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, I don't care what you think. Jesus said so. So guess what? Today I'd say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me my sins. If you've done that this week, some of you have done that in Bible study. You've done that in Vacation Bible School. Listen, God loves you guys. Following him, be obedient, baptism. I mean, what a way to start a service out. Beautiful young girl comes up and she goes, I need to be baptized today. Pastor Jamie goes, are you ready? She had her bag and everything. She said, everything's ready to go. Man, that's getting it done. That's letting the Lord speak. I mean, what do y'all think we're going to do? You go up to Pastor Jamie, say, Jamie, I have been saved by Jesus and I want to get baptized. What do you think? What do you think Jamie's going to say? Well, I think you ought to wait. I want you to be obedient in Christ. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't. But when he does, I want him to catch me doing what he asked me to. Let's pray. Lord, those that need to be saved today, right now, save them. Lord, the believers in the house, begin to pray right now that those who don't know Christ would see him, feel him, understand him, hear clearly today. You've sinned against God. You've broke the Ten Commandments. You know that. And today you want to be saved. Well, ask Jesus. You've got to ask Him in your own words. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I am sorry for what I've done. Change me, Jesus. I don't care what you've done. It can be changed. You see, Pastor Ayers, the world says that I can't be changed. Jesus says you can. The world says I can't get off drugs. Jesus says you can. The world says I got a disease that can't be healed. The Holy Spirit says you can. Because you see, the world says only some things are possible. Hallelujah. But God says, Jesus says, heaven says, the angels say that all things are possible with God. All things. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. Come into me. Those making that confession right now, heaven is coming in and changing you forever. So come and tell one of these pastors, the Lord is saving me. Pastor Jamie, I want to be baptized. Pastor Jeff, I want to be baptized. Pastor Ben, I want to be baptized. And if it's today, so be it. It'll be so. Jeff, I'm just tired of people putting heaven off. You know what I mean, brother? Your pastor's heart aches right now. I turn on the TV and sometimes I have to turn it off immediately because unfortunately it evokes such anger in me to watch the manipulation of the devil try to destroy people. You see, I've been changed by the blood of the Lamb, and He wants us to live. And what's so sad is I watch a few that'll kill everybody for their own glory. And then, Jamie, you and I serve a God that killed Himself for His own glory. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not die or perish, but will have an abundant, eternal, everlasting life. You decide. This altar is open. The Spirit is moving. You come right now and just let God touch you.